All right, brothers and sisters, in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, let's begin there. The Lord Jesus spoke seven different times from the cross, and in Luke 23, verse 34, we have one of those seven times, and this is what Jesus said. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, that's a very important passage. I was pondering it for some reason this past week on and off, and I definitely believe this is the kind of message that God would have me share perhaps with someone over here today, or maybe it was just needed for me to ponder it myself, because it will help in various ways with our dealings with unsaved people around us. I can guarantee that, because just as the people that persecuted Jesus the way they persecuted him, and they spit upon him and beat him, mocked him, and finally crucified him, Jesus said these are the ones that knew not what they were doing. And imagine to do such a stupid, ignorant, wicked thing as that, but nonetheless, they knew not what they did. Amen. Imagine how they'll feel at judgment when they stand before the judge of the living and the dead, the Lord Jesus himself. And that was the same one they went ahead and did these horrible things to. And Jesus described them very accurately, may I add, right here in a simple, concise way. They know not what they do. I believe this is, again, just the perfect way to describe all unsaved people with no exception. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14, Peter wrote this, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Notice the words, "when you lived in ignorance." He's describing the point in time before they became born again, before they were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And by the way, in the same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, he describes them as had been born again and redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And right here, he states very clearly that their past life before then was a life where they lived in ignorance. Isn't that the truth? 1 Peter 1:14, they were living in ignorance. They knew not what they were doing at that point in time. Let me give you another scripture that would more or less go hand in hand with all this, and that would be Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. It says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Notice that. Their mind is on earthly things. People that know not what they do. People that are living in ignorance. People that persecute godly people. They have their mind on earthly things. They're not spiritually minded. They're not thinking beyond the grave. They're only thinking of the natural and the tangible. Nothing that would be eternal. Nothing that is truly important. And therefore, to their own neglect and the neglect of others around them, they're not going to give any concern about heart purity and staying away from sin and that kind of thing, like Peter said, that we're to live holy. Now, let me give you another scripture that goes hand in hand with all of this, and that would be 1 Timothy 1:13. In 1 Timothy 1:13, the Apostle Paul stated this. He said, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief." Again, the Apostle Paul is just describing his past life before he became a Christian. This is when he persecuted Christians, even to their death. He had them beat, and that's the men and the women as well, and put in prison. Here he described himself as a blasphemer, and of course a persecutor, and a violent man. He said he acted in ignorance and unbelief. Amen. Isn't it true? And again, I want to emphasize that. People act in ignorance, and perhaps also in unbelief, of course, when they come against those of us that are serving God. When they come against us, telling us, like some of the Old Testament prophets, to stop giving the Word of God. And that's exactly how they feel. You see, the world really is the same. They hate the truth oftentimes. Now, of course, there are some that are seeking the kingdom and they want truth, but they just haven't found it yet. They don't know Jesus is the only way to the Father. But they act in a strange and weird way, even to the point of putting the Lord Jesus to death and spitting on him and beating on him. And by the way, getting back to that, they did such a horrible mess to Jesus. It says in Isaiah 52:14 that his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So that's how badly they beat Jesus. They crowned him with thorns and did all that horrible stuff to him out of ignorance. And this also explains the way that the unbeliever will hate and exclude and insult and reject as evil those of us that are following the Lord, because they're acting in ignorance. You see, if they were at the right senses, if the blinders were removed, if they were not in darkness, if they were not deceived, if they had understanding, which they're oblivious to, they're oblivious to all that. See, they're really not in touch with reality, because reality includes the spiritual as well as the natural. And all they know about unsaved people, they only know about the natural, the tangible realm. As far as something intangible and spiritual, they're blinded to it. And this is why they pursue the things they do. And I can't help but think about these athletes. Some of these people that will train maybe 3, 4, 5 hours a day for years to participate in the Olympics, or to be a great basketball star or football or baseball star or hockey player or whatever it might be, swimmer. What a waste. Absolutely, positively, a complete waste. Now, if Christians would be so dedicated to memorizing Scripture 3 hours a day, praying and witnessing that many hours a day for years as these people trying to be an Olympic star dedicate themselves, you tell me, how much would they shine in the kingdom? What an important spiritual difference they would make in the lives of many people, and of course, even for their own sake throughout all eternity, things would be different. Well, this also describes not only how the Apostle Paul persecuted the righteous and how the Lord Jesus could be treated so meanly and cruelly, but it also describes how Stephen could be stoned to death and John the Baptist could have his head cut off and James could be slain by the sword. And imagine, these people were all doing the very thing, not only that God commanded them to do, but doing the very best thing they could ever do to help the people they were communicating these truths to. The one thing unsaved people need, just the same thing as Christian, we all need the Word of God. People need the truth. They need eternal truth. Everything here in this tangible, physical, natural realm is staring us in the face all during the week. We need the Word of God. Sometimes we're going to have to get it for ourselves in the Bible. But brothers and sisters, every one of us, we're to spread that Word. We're to hold out the Word of life. We're to be that sower, that farmer, spreading that seed, that precious eternal seed, the seed of God's Word, out to various types of people, because eternity hangs in a balance. These people need salvation. They need what we know. When we were serving the devil on our way to hell, we weren't doing this, were we? But now that our eyes are open, we have a responsibility. And we have a charge given to us from God. We're to let our light shine. We're to be salt. But the Bible tells us something else in conjunction with all this. Another example of unbelievers that know not what they do. In Acts 3:17 and 18, Peter said this, "Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through the prophets, how his Christ would suffer." So again, Peter is pointing out that the very ones that he was speaking to at that moment, they were the ones that actually opposed and came against Jesus and had him suffer and crucify be crucified as he was. It was all out of ignorance. Ephesians 4:18 similarly says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. The Bible tells us that unsaved people are not only separated from the life of God, but they are in ignorance. Notice, they're darkened in their understanding, and that's all because of their heart condition. But the point I'm trying to emphasize here is they don't have understanding. You see, they think they understand. They think they got a handle on it. They think they know what they're doing and that we are fools. They look upon us as sometimes just somebody they can't figure out. At other times, they would have to look at us as fools. Why are you about the things that you're about? It doesn't make sense to me. Well, that's because we hear the beat of a different drummer, amen? Isn't it true? We have our spiritual sensors hooked up. They're still dead spiritually. Their eyes do not see. Their spiritual ears do not hear. But that's not the case anymore for us, thank God. And then there's another case or another example of all this. And this is with the prodigal. In Luke chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, especially verse 17, it says, speaking of the prodigal when he was away from the father, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, but here I am starving to death. I want you to know that the prodigal was not at his senses. He was not acting in his right mind. It would just be like somebody in the natural that would have just taken some kind of drug. If it would be cocaine or heroin or something else, ecstasy or whatever new drug might be out there on the market. And they're speeding down the road 110 miles an hour. They know not what they're doing. They are not in the right senses. They don't have understanding. Their senses are dulled. Everything's blurred. And that's exactly how it is with people in sin. Now, the prodigal, with the example of Jesus teaching in Luke 15, we have an example through the prodigal where Jesus taught there's more than one type of lost person. There's the lost person, somebody that never came to salvation. But there's also the lost person, somebody that once knew salvation, and after they knew it, they turned to sin, and through the sin, they were brought to their spiritual death. Now, we know that's the case with the prodigal, because in 15:24, Luke 15:24, after he repented, went back to the presence of the Father, my Father said, my son was dead, he's alive again, was lost, and is found. So, he was dead when he was in sin, and he was spiritually lost at that time. This was the time when he wasn't at his senses. But when he came to his senses, he wanted to go to the Father. You see, when he came to his senses, he wanted to go to the Father, not away from the Father. And that's a good indicator who's in their right spiritual senses and who are not. People that think they really got a handle on things, and they're keeping an arm's length from God, there's something wrong with them. You cannot draw too close to God. You cannot get too much of God. You cannot love God too much. You cannot go to too much of an extreme. Amen? I think it's exactly the opposite of what some people in our dark, apostate, heretical day in our country have said. They say of some people, they say, well, they're so spiritually minded, they're no earthly good. I believe exactly the opposite is true. I don't believe you're any earthly good unless you're spiritually minded. And the more spiritually minded you are, the more earthly good you'll be. And brothers and sisters, these people are not at their right mind. And anybody that would say something like that you could be so spiritually minded you're no earthly good, that person shows by saying that he's not in his right senses. There's something wrong with him. Amen? Isn't it true? There's something wrong with that person. Just to say something like that. In Titus 3:3, listen to the good description that's found right here about all unsaved people. It says, at one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. Now, of all the many verses in the Bible that would describe unsaved people, I like Titus 3:3, very best of all. I remember before I ever pastored, I used to go to a convalescent home. And I used to hold a Sunday afternoon service in a convalescent home. They would wheel these old people out there. They would be all doped up because of the medicine they gave them. They were half asleep. But they would wheel them, and perhaps I'd have five or sometimes eight, sometimes more. And sometimes part of the family would come along, and they would listen to what I was saying. And I remember one time I preached a message on Titus 3:3. Titus 3:3 is a whole sermon in itself. But I don't want to spend a whole sermon on Titus 3:3. All I want to say is, according to this, that unsaved people, besides being disobedient and enslaved to all kinds of passions and pleasures, they are both foolish and deceived. You know, a deceived person is a person that has been led astray. We're told repeatedly in the Bible not to be led astray or not to be deceived about certain things. But unsaved people, they are deceived. And now, there are people, a lot of people, multitudes in the church that are deceived. They've been led astray, and they've been led astray because of the false teachers of our hour. But the Bible tells us that we don't have to be deceived, and how it is for the unsaved and why they are like they are. They're darkened in their understanding and they're foolish. They're foolish. They think we're foolish, but the truth is they are the ones that are foolish, not us. Now, let me give you a very important passage. If you haven't been following along, I'd like you to follow along now. And this is found in Matthew 7, 24 through 29. Matthew 7, 24 through 29. And as you're turning there, I'd like to say that a deceived person is a person that thinks things are one way, but in reality, they're not like that at all. They're altogether a different way. And this is exactly how it is for a foolish person, especially right here in this context. In Matthew 7, 24 through 29, this is what Jesus said. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he is taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Well, right here in Matthew 7, Jesus spoke of two types of builders. Two types of people building a house. And that would be the wise man and the foolish man. Now, it's interesting when the prophet Isaiah went to Hezekiah, and he told him to get his house in order that he was about to die. You see, your house can represent everything that you've done your whole life through. It can represent everything that you've done your whole life through. And the wise man, he went ahead, and what did he do? He chose the slow and the hard route, the correct and the proper route, something that might not be the best as far as many people might consider. This wise man who put into practice the word of God, he is the man that dug down on the rock. And he erected his home, his house, his whole life on the rock of God's word, putting into practice the word of God. In contrast to him, there's another type of person. Jesus said, who was the foolish man? Now, this foolish man, he's characterized in just one single way. He did not put into practice the Word of God. Now, that man that did not put into practice the Word of God, he's just like the person in the natural, let's say the carpenter or the construction worker in the natural, that would build a house on sand. Now, I've never done that kind of thing where I had to dig down myself, do any kind of foundation myself in this kind of way. But I know one thing. Wouldn't you have to say that such a person is such a foolish person, such a foolish builder, he would have to be one of the world's biggest foolish builders that has ever come around the corner. Amen? To build his house and everything that he would value, put in that house, and all that be on sand, well then, it's only a disaster waiting to happen. And that's how it is for people around us every day. People that know not what they do. People that are in their sin. People that are not putting into practice the Word of God. Not living in a holy way, in a God-fearing way. They're a disaster waiting to happen. It's an easy thing, and it's a fast thing, would it not be, to dig down into the sand and put up a foundation? Fast and easy, maybe 2-3 times faster. You could have that house built because the foundation would go up so quick. But when that wind started blowing, and when the streams rose, and when all that beat against that house, friends, there was only one type of house that stood. And it's the type that would be built on the rock of God's Word, putting into practice the Word of God. Anybody that doesn't put in the Word into the put into practice the Word of God, they know not what they are doing. They are living in ignorance. They're darkened in their understanding. Folks, this life is but so temporary it could end at any moment. We're perhaps a breath away from death. Nobody knows who's going to die next. Nobody knows or is guaranteed another year, much less even another hour. We don't even know how much longer. Some people think, well, retirement or vacation time next year or this or that or this other thing. Well, maybe, maybe not. You don't know. And it's not necessarily how you eat or if you exercise, you could get killed in a car and be the healthiest person around. All we know is one day we're going to go. And to be that wise man that Jesus spoke of here, you're going to have to put into practice the Word of God. Now, putting into practice the Word of God is as hard as it would be to dig down and lay the foundation of your home on rock. If you don't conceive in your mind the toil that would be involved, the strain, the effort that would be required to do that, then you can't really understand what all would be entailed in putting into practice the Word of God. Putting into practice is not a breeze. It's a hard way. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7:14. Difficult is the road that leads to life. Hard is the road that leads to life. And that's exactly what Jesus taught right here in the same chapter. Just a few verses later, he went ahead and he elaborated on that. And he's saying it's the same as building a house on rock. That's the hard road. Brothers and sisters, that's the difficult road. We're going to run into people trouble. These people around us are ignorant. They know not what they do. They're darkened in their understanding. They're dead toward the things of God. Sometimes they'll just tune you out and they'll walk away. At other times they want you to shut up because you bother them. You're a thorn in their side. You're the smell of death to them. They'd like to see your head chopped off as Herodias wanted John the Baptist's head cut off. They hate you. The Bible says that the righteous will be hated, excluded, insulted, and their name rejected as evil. And all of this, mind you, all of this because we're doing the will of God. Because we're obeying God and we're acting in love. We're trying to help these people come out of the darkness and the death that they're headed for. These people that are foolish builders, this foolish man right here in Matthew 7. This foolish man's headed for disaster. Amen? And sometimes when you have your house built on rock and you're telling somebody, even though that stream never rose yet and the wind never started blowing yet, friend, I want you to know it's going to happen. One day, you're going to stand before a holy God. And if you're still in your sin, if Jesus isn't your Lord and your Savior, if you don't have a pure heart at that moment in time, you're going to experience a total collapse and loss of everything. It's all going to be wasted. It's all gone. It's all a complete ruin at that moment. We try to turn people onto the right path. Some will listen, some won't, but brothers and sisters, keep trying. You never know when somebody's going to wake up. But the Bible doesn't just teach of the foolish builder and the wise builder. Jesus not only taught of that type of person. In the same gospel account, Matthew chapter 25, Jesus spoke of the foolish virgin and the wise virgins. Those foolish virgins, there was something that they lacked. They lacked an understanding of the importance of persevering, that perhaps Jesus is coming later than what they might have originally thought. In other words, a late coming. And that we have to persevere, and that's needed for salvation's sake. Folks, that's very important. We best better not be like that foolish virgin, amen? The foolish virgins, 1 out of 2, or 5 out of 10, however you want to describe it. They were not ready when Jesus came back. Jesus never said, I never knew you. Jesus instead said, I don't know you. He did know them at one time. They were His at one time. They were virgins. They were saved. They had a lamp burning. And they were waiting for Jesus' return. But all that changed, folks. Sadly, all that changed. And that's an amazing thing, what can happen to a heart, isn't it? You're talking about the heart of the redeemed here, because that's what happened to these foolish virgins. God forbid that would happen to anybody that's listening to my voice at this moment. Brothers and sisters, we need to guard our heart. Amen? But let me give you another scripture. This is from Revelation 3, 16 and 17. The Bible says here in this particular chapter, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize. Notice that. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't know that they were in this wretched a spiritual condition. They thought they didn't need a single thing. And that was all because of sin's delusion. Sin will block and blur and hinder and put a veil over your spiritual understanding. It'll stop you immediately from understanding and seeking God and doing His will and reading the Bible and praying and doing the things that would come natural. It'll choke the life right out of you and send you to hell. Right here, these lukewarm people, they were wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Show me a lukewarm person, and I'll show you a person that in God's sight is wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They might think they got everything, that they're blessed, but they're not. They're poor. A lot of people, they equate in our dark hour, hey, I'm blessed. To them, blessed means that they got money, that they got material things. Well, I want you to know the blessed man or the blessed woman is a person that got a close walk with Jesus. Amen? That's the blessed man. That's the blessed woman. There's going to be a whole lot of people in the kingdom of God that were dirt poor. A whole lot of people that wandered around out in the deserts and the mountains. They lived in caves and holes in the ground. And they clothed themselves with animal fur. That was the best they could get. Who knows what all they had to eat? Who knows what all they had to suffer? But brothers and sisters, they were rich in faith. And they were rich toward God. That's the kind of rich man I want to be. Amen. We're leaving everything behind. We better think about eternity. We better think about things that are truly important and true spiritual riches. Well, the Bible tells us something else about these people that know not what they do. When they oppose the righteous man and they continue to reject God and they continue to just revel in their sin, they like to brag about their sin and they like to lead other people into sin too. They just love it. Well, in Jeremiah 5:21 it says, "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people, who have eyes but do not see, who have ears but do not hear." Notice that. Notice how they're described. They're senseless. They have eyes and ears, but they can't see or hear. Notice that. It's just like a deaf man, just like a blind man in the natural. If you've seen somebody like that in the natural, wouldn't you pity him? Don't you just have pity for somebody like that? Well, that's how all these unsaved people are around us. They cannot see. They cannot hear spiritually. They're deaf, they're blind, and they're on the road to hell. The greatest danger that could await any person is awaiting such a person, and they don't think there's anything dangerous before them. They're blinded. Psalm 82:5 says, "They know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken." But the point is, again, they don't have understanding, and they're in darkness. And not only are they in darkness, but they're serving the prince of darkness, the devil of all people, to be serving. They think they're not serving anybody, but they're so deceived, they're actually serving the devil, and they don't know it. One final scripture, 1 Peter 2:15. "It is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish men." And isn't that a perfect way of describing unsaved people? Not only that they're foolish, but they speak ignorantly. They speak without understanding. They speak without the knowledge that they need to have, that we do have, because they're not in tune truly with reality. True reality includes the spirit realm just as much as the natural realm. Amen? Amen.